Is that apart from your intervention in our lives, indeed, we were lost forever. We'd lost our purpose, we'd lost our hope. We had no persuasion of heaven. We just want to come and thank you for that provision. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the Christ suffering on that cross for us. And Lord, I just ask now that we would indeed allow your word to speak to us, that you would come speak to us through your Spirit, through the word, that we would be transformed, that we would grasp what it means to be empowered by you. So set us free to that, Lord, I pray, for the glory of Christ and for our joy. Amen. Gifted. You are designed with a divine capacity to make a difference in the body of Christ. You've been given a supernatural ability to bless other people in a particular capacity according to His plan. And so we want to continue looking at this today and coming today to talking about how do you do what He's told you to do? Because we are called to be empowered for ministry. That you don't just go do this. I mean, you think about all the neat things that can be done. And there's Rotary and there's Lions Clubs and there's all sorts of different organizations. What's the difference between those organizations and us? A believer has supernatural capacity. He has a spiritual ability within him to touch people in a way that brings God into people's lives. And that makes it completely different. And so I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy as we look at this idea of being empowered for ministry. And last week we were in 1 Timothy, okay? And Paul had wrote his letter to Timothy saying, hey, do not neglect the gift. And so you remember we talked about that idea that we would, you know, stop neglecting, start developing, all right, and stay serving, that we're to persevere in this ministry. So that's what he wrote that first letter. Well, since that letter was written, Paul was then imprisoned again. He is being held under the authority of Nero. And by the Spirit of God, it already has been revealed to him that he will not come out of prison, is that he's going to be executed. And so he's writing to Timothy, one of his closest friends and disciples, and trying to urge Timothy, that even though he looks at Paul and says, that's my mentor, that's my example, he's saying, hey, you need to keep going. There's a power within you to keep going. You need to keep at that. And it's interesting because we see in this letter, I'd encourage you, read the letter. It's not that long. Take the time to read through the whole thing on your own. I'm not going to teach you the whole letter this morning, just a few verses. But that idea of seeing the personalness of Paul here, because you see him talking and remembering some things with Timothy, and then you see him challenging Timothy and talking about his pain in ministry. That everybody in Asia, this great work in Ephesus where he had did this work, he says, they've all turned away from me. They've abandoned me. The people he'd made disciples of had turned away. And he was wrestling with that, and he's warning him about the hard times that are going to come in the end times of which we are a part of. And then he then challenges him to fulfill his ministry in the fourth chapter. And so we want to see this starting introduction because he's telling Timothy something that I think is special. So, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll start down here with verse 3. He says, I thank my God whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. Maybe a thought. He says, I keep remembering you in my prayers. Are you remembering some way? Are there people you're praying for? And could you even tell them, send them a note? Let them know. I got a letter from somebody just yesterday. Hadn't seen him in 5 years. And they sent me a card saying, hey, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. That's a blessing. That's an encouragement. And you know that Jesus is always interceding for you. He's always praying for you. And so he's telling Timothy, hey, I'm praying for you, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears so that I may be filled with joy. I mean, he recalls his tears. Well, the last thing I can think he remembers is when they pulled apart. And if you actually go in and read in the book of Acts, when Paul left the church at Ephesus, of which Timothy was called to be the pastor, remember we talked about that last week? It says they were all crying because Paul said, I won't see your face again. I won't come back through here. This isn't going to happen. And so that's kind of what it seems to me that he's responding to, saying, hey, I'm remembering your tears and I want to be happy again. So, hey, come on over and visit me, because Paul's kind of unrestricted travel situation via the Roman government. And he says, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm sure it's in you as well. And this is a great picture. He says, Timothy, I remember this faith, but you know what? I remember it in your grandma. I remember seeing that your grandma was a woman walking with God, and then your mom was a woman walking with God, and now you're a young man walking with God. And so, a special blessing to you grandmothers and you mothers out here, because I know you've got this tenderness in your heart, and you want to see your children following the Savior. Paul says, hey, this faith, it can be handed off. It can't be forced. But you can live in such a way that you transform your children and your grandchildren by the lifestyle that you live in front of them. I mean, people are influential, are they not? And do you remember back? I mean, some of you, if you've had that godly heritage, it's an exciting thing. You go, man, grandma was like always about Jesus. She was just like crazy about ministry or something like that. And they made an impact on you. Now, many of you have heard of a man by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, right? You're quite familiar with him. But most of you have not heard of James Spurgeon. But James Spurgeon was a preacher just a few years before Charles Haddon. In fact, James was Charles' grandfather. And he took custody of Charles at 1 year of age. And as a man of God, raised him to love the Savior. And while you probably haven't read any of James's sermons, the grandfather's influence showed up in Charles, and he became one of the most widely known preachers, still being read today, 100 years after his passing. And so we have the potential, parents and grandparents, to influence the next generation. And so Paul is speaking to that with Timothy and reminding him of that. And so then he says, knowing that it's been passed on to you, in verse 6, he says, for this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. In the ministry that God is calling you to, there is a power that can transform the way you do it. And he says, Tim, I want you to join me in this. I don't want you to be ashamed of me. I want you to embrace this. I want you to walk in a special way. And so he brings a couple things out here, and I'm going to jump from these verses into several other verses to kind of expand a few key words here. But first thing he says, kindle afresh the gift of God. Now, the word gift is charismata. It is the expression of the Spirit within you. All right? So he says, I want you to do this, and be that expression. I know some of you, even hear the word charismata, you think charismatic, and some of you are scared of charismatics. You know what? If you're not charismatic, it's because you're missing something, because charismatic means you're of the gifts, that you have a gift, all right? The whole idea of people saying you have to have a specific gift to manifest that you're in the Spirit, that's contrary to the Word. But the fact that each believer is given a gift, therefore we are those who are manifesting the Spirit. And he says, I want you to kindle afresh that gift. I want you to expand, to develop, to nurture this very expression. Now listen. When he says that, he's talking about that Spirit indwellment. He says, there's a way to live so that this will be displayed. So here's a principle I just want to share with you. Is that your walk with the Spirit empowers you for ministry. The relationship that you develop with the Spirit of God on a day-to-day basis is going to determine what is displayed in you. The circumstances, the situations, the relationships that you and I are in are opportunities for the Spirit of God to be displayed. So he says, I want you to fan the flame. He says, I want you to let this be expressed fully through you. You see, when you go back to that idea of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came on the believers at Pentecost, what was the expression physically? There was a flame of fire on the top of their head. Okay, you know, sometimes we just read these Bible stories and it's like, yeah, I know. Okay, now wait a minute. A flame of fire above somebody's head? Everybody's head? Marking that they were all apart? God did this visual thing to say, I want you to know that everybody got the Spirit, you know? Fan the flame. The Holy Spirit is described in the Bible as a fire. He comes to purify. He comes to inflame, to express himself through you. So think about this. Jesus said that the flesh profits nothing. It's the Spirit that gives life. All right? And over in Galatians, we're told, if you will walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. There is a relationship with the Spirit that God wants to develop in you. In Philippians, he says, I can do all things. How? Through Christ who strengthens me. And that is the expression of Christ in you is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so he said, there's nothing that God can't do if you'll respond to building this relationship. Here's a question for you. Are you more passionate for God today than you have ever been? Now, I'm not talking about your particular feelings this morning, or whether you're tired or refreshed, but I'm talking about your walk with God. Are you at a spot where you're seeing yourself growing more passionate for God? Or you look back and see that there was a previous high watermark, but you're not there anymore. You know, if you're not at the same level of intensity in going after Christ, what's that mean? The fire burns down. Isn't that what happens? You put logs on a fire, and they're really hot, and then eventually they'll burn down. He says, stir that up, Timothy. Keep maintaining the fire. You see, if we're not where we once were, then what do we call that? Backsliding, isn't that right? You slid back from where you once were. Now, there's a level of relationship he wants us to develop. And so here, Paul's talking to Timothy, and he challenges him, saying, hey, Tim, listen. I know you've got this gift. Now fan it into flame. What do we mean? Let there be a full, bold expression of God pouring out from you. When you touch people with your gift, when you serve, they get blessed by God. Because it's God blessing you. The people sometimes at the door make me uncomfortable. They're saying, James, thank you. That was just amazing. That was just a powerful message. And I'm like, that wasn't me. And people kind of look at me like, okay, that's, I thought I saw you up there. You know, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? There's that uncomfortableness that people are recognizing that God has spoke to them. And I just want to keep drawing your attention back to God, that He's the one who speaks through His word as I speak. That's my gift. This is my chance to touch you with the love of Christ. And what Paul is telling Timothy, hey, fan that into flame. Be as bright and as bold as you can be at expressing God in your life. And then he kind of does this clarification of it. And so here's the four words I want to walk through with you. He says, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Okay? So we're going to look at timidity, power, love, and discipline. Okay? And so timidity is the first concept. And under this idea, if we don't deal with timidity, it is going to restrict the flame. If timidity has in it the idea of a lack of courage, not having the moral fortitude to stand up and be who God's called you to be, it's responding out of fear rather than out of faith. All right? And God flows through us as we trust Him. And so He says, don't be timid. You know? It's an interesting thing, my friends. God did not make you timid. All right? How did He make you? He made you to be a person of trust. I was speaking about this to somebody in the first service about challenging somebody else. I said, I'm trying to help them. And the person came back and said, James, you're not supposed to be trying. My preacher said that you're always supposed to be trusting. I always like it when people use my sermons back on me. That's a good thing, you know. It really is, because it reminds me, hey, this is what it's about. I'm not trying to see somebody change. I'm trusting God to change somebody, and I'm working with God in this process. But we can become timid about that rather than trusting God. And so you can be afraid, and God gives us promises. Isaiah 41:10 is this amazing promise that I want to give you and share this with you, because this can be one of those things that will allow you to be strengthened. Okay? Read this with me. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Is that amazing stuff? Now see, when we talk about fanning the flame, one of the pictures I want to give you is that you take a promise like this, you write it down on a 3x5 card, you stick it on the mirror in your bathroom, or you stick it on your dashboard, or somewhere where you're going to see it. I put them in my verse box, you know. And then you review that. What? You're feeding the fire of the Holy Spirit. You're giving Him promises to stir you up in. Do you remember all the way back at the first of the year, we spent several weeks talking about God time, right? When you develop that relationship with God, you build it on a promise. You spend daily time with Him, and that fans the flame. If you're not spending daily time with Him, I can guarantee you something. The fire's still burning. Therefore, it's going to be burning down if you're not spending adequate time. All right? So we need to stir it up. So what's he telling Tim? Hey, there's a failure to trust. It'll limit your ministry. Failure to trust is going to limit your ministry. So he says, Tim, God did not give you a spirit of timidity. He didn't make you timid. He says, I want you to trust me. Because sometimes people will talk to me about this, particularly with giftedness. We get awkward with the idea of saying, I'm gifted. Let me tell you what my gift is. You know, we're not really bold about that. And yet, if God has entrusted something to you that He intends for you to use in His family, He says, don't be putting your lamp under a bushel. He says, let that light shine. Express it. You know, it's interesting, though. I want to encourage some of you, if you wrestle with that idea of your giftedness and of using it, you're in good company when you read your Bible. Because almost everybody that God came to and says, hey, I've got a plan for you, says, I think you got the wrong person. You know, you see that again and again. Moses, for example, okay? Here's this guy. He's 80 years old. He's a man who's murdered. He's a man who's been driven out of town. He's living out in the desert, all right? Just getting by with life, just going through the motions, doing the things that he do. He's got his family. He's going on with life. God shows up in a burning bush. Says, I've got a plan for you. You know, one of the problems we have when God shows up in our lives and says, I've got a plan for you, is we kind of do this. Oh, but God, I've got my own plan already. Isn't that right? That's what's hard, is God's going to interrupt your plan with his plan. I'm here to tell you, his is better. Okay? But so there's this whole discussion of how God wants to free the people out of Egypt. And when he gets done, what does Moses say? Now you would expect, it's the Bible, you would expect, yes, sir. Not exactly. No, what does he say? He says, God, in case you haven't noticed, I don't talk too good. I've never been very eloquent with my speech. I don't talk good now. I didn't talk good before. I don't think I'm going to talk good to Pharaoh. This is great. This is so spiritual. I love it. Send the message by whoever you will, other than me. You know, it's kind of translated. It's here am I, send Aaron. You know, that kind of thing. So here he is. He's God's man. Saying what? No can do. I don't got it. That may be right where you're at right now. You're that person saying, I don't think I have it. I don't think I can do this. And maybe Tim, as he watched and knew that his disciple maker was going to die for his faith, maybe Tim's going, I don't think I got that kind of faith. So I don't know what you're wrestling with, what's pulling on you this morning saying, I'm not sure I can do this, but I'm here to tell you, don't be timid. God's got a plan for you, all right? And what was amazing was, what was God's answer to Moses? I made you. I'm with you. And I'll lead you. Isn't that the exact promise we just read in Isaiah 41:10? Isn't that the same promise that we find all the way through the Bible? I will be with you always. And so if he's inside of you, and if he's for you, he's with you, he's gifted you. That's God's answer for inadequacy. It's me, he says. I'm the answer for inadequacy. Quit looking at yourself and let me show up. All right? I guarantee you, if I was looking at me, I would not mount these stairs. But when I look at him and I look at his word, then there's something to be said, and I want to step forward by faith and say it. All right, so instead of being timid, he says, he lists these next things he wants to see Tim develop. He says, but of power. He didn't give you a spirit of timidity. He gave you a spirit of power. Power comes by feeding the flame. That when the Holy Spirit is there, that you will let him go. You'll release him to be expressed through your life. It's interesting how this is put over in the book of Ephesians. If you want to turn with me over there, just a couple books to the left. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul's praying for the Ephesian church. Remember, this is Timothy's church. This is the church of Timothy, pastor. He wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus. And he says in verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and then get this, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of God in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is named. He never knows how to stop. Okay, Paul does not have short sentences. What's he saying? He says, I want you to know this incredible, surpassing, great power of God. He says, I'm praying that you'll get it because you've already got it. But if you don't think you have it, you'll never use it. If you don't believe the ability and the power of God has been placed on you, are you going to go out there and use it? There has to be a confidence inside of you that says, He's in me, He's placed this with me, and I can do this. That's where power comes from. All right? And so when Moses was getting the call, what did he say? Don't got it. He was resisting. But Paul's telling Timothy, don't resist this. God's going to do something powerful through you. So here's your principle. Submitting yourself to God by faith releases the Spirit's power. When you say yes to God, God is allowed to flow out. He shows up in our lives that way. And so obedience to God will release Him to be expressed in your life. Listen, God has indwelt you if your faith is in Christ. And He is willing to fill you, just like light is willing to fill a room. All right? If you just turn the lights on, light fills the room, darkness is dispelled. Why? Because there was a choice of faith to believe that the power in the box would operate if you throw the switch. If you don't think the power's on, you won't turn the switch. Isn't that right? Now, you guys know this in reverse. We lost power here several times here last week. You know, you go to the switch, it's dark in the house, you turn the light on, you're believing there's power and there's no power. This is the exact opposite. God says there is a switch in you. If you'll say yes to me, I will empower you, and we won't throw the switch. We won't say yes. We won't submit. Listen. Believing the promises is what provides you the power. That's why you always hear me every Sunday. You are not going to get out of here without a promise. I promise you. That's not going to happen. Because that's what builds your faith. And I want to grow you up to trust Him. Okay? So he put it really well in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. You read this with me, and I'm going to interrupt you a couple times as we read it. But you just stay with me, alright? I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Wait, right there. He says, I died with Christ. When you put your faith in Christ, His death became your death. You died with Him. He says, it is no longer I who live. Then who's living? Christ lives in me. Now here's the question. How does Christ live in you? Look what he says. Let's keep reading. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. How do I live this life? How does Christ live out His life in me? When I say yes, when I believe, when I exercise faith, His life is expressed through us. Every choice, every circumstance, every attitude is an opportunity for you to fan the flame. You see, you can choose that sour attitude, even though the Word of God says we're to rejoice usually. You got that in your new translation? It says rejoice usually. What's it say? Rejoice always. So when it says rejoice always, do I always feel like rejoicing? No, I don't. I don't. I don't. I've read it a million times and I still don't. But I can what? I can submit myself to God, who says rejoice because I'm working for good. And when I choose to rejoice, the power of the Spirit is released in my rejoicing. Does that make any sense? That's what by living by faith in the Son of God. Peter put it interestingly enough in 2 Peter. He says, God has granted to us everything for life and godliness. Every single thing that you need. We're told by Paul at the end of Ephesians to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Alright? So often I find people, they're, back to what we talked about, they're trying to be a good Christian. James, I'm really trying. Quit! Start trusting Christ and His promises, and Christ will be displayed through you. You already are a good Christian. You're a good Christian because Christ is in you, and your goodness comes from Christ. It doesn't come from you. And as you trust him, then that goodness will be displayed in greater vividness and greater clarity. Friends, how can I express it? I got a cup here for you. All right? Jesus Christ wants to fill your life. True? What's the problem? We're not always lined up with him. We're not letting him be displayed. He's like, I want my power to be flowing through you. I want my love flowing through you. I want my life in you. But we're not open to him. So we have to align ourselves to the Holy Spirit. We have to allow him to be expressed in our lives. And there's this problem, though. Because even when we line ourselves up, say, okay, God, I really want the blessing of God. We've all been there, right? I really want the blessing of God. But you've got an opinion about where you want to get blessed. So it's like, okay, God, here I am, and I really want you to bless me. This is the gift I want to exercise. This is what I want to do for you. Please, 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 please do this. But God has gifted you over here. And if you're going to get the cup full, you have to come to where the flow is. You understand that? We have to move to God, to his life, to let him choose where he's going to flow into us. We don't get to choose, hey, God, bless me over here. Come bless my plans. So he says, no, I've already got plans for you. He says in the scriptures, he made plans before the foundation of the world in our lives. So he said, I can open up to God and let God bless me if I'll align myself. So this cup will remain empty and dry until what? Until I put it under the faucet. Until I align myself with what the Holy Spirit wants to do in my life, I'm going to find myself dry. There is blessing potential, but it's not flowing out of my life. Does that make sense? All right. So, that's the power picture. All right. So, it's a simple thing of saying yes to God. I mean, simple meaning yes is a simple thing to say. It's not so simple sometimes to look at your life and say, yes, you can do whatever you want. Yes, you can have that. Yes. Sometimes when I talk about this, an idea of just giving yourself totally to God, people freak out. It's like, I just can't do that, James. All right? Why? Because you trust yourself more than your Savior. What is it about God that you can't totally trust? You just can't say, hey, you can do whatever you want with my life. Is there something about God that's wrong? He's awesome. So he tells Tim, hey, I don't want you to be timid. I want you to be a man of power. And then he says what? A man of love. All right, look at this. The greatest commandment is what? Love. That's the greatest commandment. The fruit of the Spirit is love. This is the display of God in your life. So if you want to be a person of power, get this. If the power is in you, how do I know the power is in you? It's going to show up in love. Does that make sense? It's not, zap, I've got the power of God. I can knock you down. Okay? No. It's, I can touch you with the love of Christ. And so love shares the flame. Love is that which takes what God has given to me, and I'm going to express it and share it and bless others with it. All right? He prayed about that over here in Ephesians chapter 3. Did you notice how Paul does quite a bit of praying, even in his letters? By the way, you can do that in your letters. Have you ever done that? Write to one of your grandchildren. Write them a prayer. You can do it. Just try it. Okay, freebie. All right. Ephesians 3:14. He says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Holy Spirit in the inner man. All right, we just talked about that, being strengthened with power in the inner man. All right, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. How? Through faith, it says. Through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of the love of Christ. Why? So that you might be filled up to all the fullness of God. Nobody got that. You and I can be filled up to all the fullness of God. Isn't that an amazing thought? That the fullness of God can reside in you. This is why we're talking about this whole issue of your relationship. Because your walk with the Spirit empowers your ministry. You can have a fuller expression of God. God is not holding out on you. Did He hold out anything from you? Look at that cross. He did not hold back anything from you. If He gave you His own Son, is He not going to want to give you any other blessing? He has a full-powered blessing for you, but it comes as you yield to Him. So sharing yourself with others, all right, in loving service, it expands the Spirit's influence. It allows the Spirit to flow through you into other people's lives. That's why we're talking about embracing a particular gift, giftedness, because there's actually, oftentimes your gifts will work together. I have the gift of encouragement and the gift of teaching, so when I teach, I have to encourage. It's just how I'm wired. It can't not work that way. It just comes out that way all the time. All right? But so there's a giftedness blend in you, but as you do that, your gift, get this, is your way to love other people. That's one of the greatest ways for you to express the love of God to somebody else. All right? So do what you love to do, and you'll be loving others, because that's the way God's wired you. All right? And so when you do your assessment, you begin finding out what your gifts are, then you can find your place and say, okay, this is the way God's wired me. This is how I love people. Some of you got the gift of helps, and you just like coming alongside of people and helping them out. And you'll do this for them and that for them and this for them and that for them. Not my thing. I can do things for people. It just doesn't turn my crank, if that makes any sense to you. It doesn't energize me, because that's not the Spirit of God in me. He does not give me that. Administration sucks me dry. Okay, just sucks me dry. And we've got some people here that are so administrative, I just love it. And it's a blessing. Do you follow what I'm saying? But it's when you're doing that thing which works for you, it's loving on the rest of the body. That's how it's expressed. Okay, so it's a key thing. All right? And so God has poured His love into us abundantly so that we would, what? Pour our love out on others. That's a key spot. Now, look with me at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Let me read this to you. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's a big word. What's that? That's the satisfaction of God's righteous wrath against us for being sinners. So what it's saying is, in this is love. It wasn't that we came to God and says, oh God, I love you so much. And He says, okay, great, I'll send you my Son down and He'll take care of your sins. No, when we were flipping God off, when we were in rebellion against God, when we were doing our own thing, God in love came down for us, paid the penalty through His Son, Jesus Christ, upon that cross, bled out for us, was buried, and then rose again from the dead. And God says, that's good enough for me to make you all good. That's what He said. I'm accepting what He did, if you'll trust it, as good enough for you. It's as though you were punished. So then He says this. Now here's what's cool. Beloved, if God so loved us, okay, when He went to the cross, did He fill your cup? Did His love fill you up? Somebody with me yet? Does His love fill you up? Yeah, so you got love. So if God so loved us, we ought to what? Love one another. Are you ever going to run out of the love of God? No, you will never lack what you need to love somebody else. You can get tired, and every mother said, amen. Yeah, you can get tired loving people, but you don't run out of the love of God. It's enough for you. And so He says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Now get this. This is great. He says, no one has beheld God at any time. No one's seen God at any time. But if we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. What's He saying? When you and I receive the love of Christ, and then when we go out and pour out His love on other people, guess who they see? They see God. They see Christ in you. They see the work of the Holy Spirit, and they go, why is that person so loving? They don't understand why that love is there. And they see Jesus. That's why gifted ministry is so important, because you're going to love somebody, and somebody's going to see Jesus in you. And that's amazing. That's the whole thing. So he says, Tim, I says, I don't want you to be timid. I want you being a man of power. I want you being a man of love. I want you to express this out fully. I want this to connect with you. You see, love-filled people will overflow on others intentionally. You do it deliberately. You plan for it. You want to make that touch connection. Let me illustrate this one more way. A little twisted, but that's okay. When I was in about fifth grade, we were in this classroom, and somehow we found out that if you touch the record player, some of you parents will have to explain to your children what that is. Okay, if you touch the record player and the sink faucet at the same time, you got shocked. There was a lack of ground on this. And so us boys figured out this really cool thing. So you could have somebody on the standing next to the record player, and you just would come up and wait for the person to take a drink-a-thon, and then you just touch them and the record player at the same time, and they got touched. Okay. You wouldn't get the shock. They would get the shock. The power flowed through you and got them. Okay? And we used to do that. My brother did do that with the electric fence at home, too. You know, out there. Working with the cows, same thing. You're standing there next to the fence, and all of a sudden somebody just, bam! And they just would nail you. But the idea, the picture is that you're a conduit of the power of God. And that if you're connected to the power of God, you can let that power will flow right through you into somebody else. You can touch them. And when you begin to love other people, they're going to be shocked. Because they don't think God loves them. They don't think anybody loves them. They don't think they're lovable. And you are put on the planet to tell them, Jesus loves you this much. So overflow on other people. Touch them, shock them, let God's life flow through you. That's what he says here. And so that's what the Spirit wants to do. Friends, last word, discipline. Discipline. Some people hear discipline, they hear a bad word. Discipline means of a sound mind. It means clearly focused and controlled. It can mean being under self-control. And so we talk about discipline, we're talking about controlling the flame. That you will live in such a way that you'll keep that firmness of God at work in your life. You see, when you discipline yourself to obey under difficulty, it strengthens the Spirit's leading. He'll work in a powerful way through as you stay at it. And so what he tells Timothy, it's amazing. You can see this when you read the letter. Remember I told you guys to do that already. When you read the letter, you're going to see as you walk through here, the next couple things he says, you know, we read the verse 8, he says, join me in suffering. You get over here to chapter 2, he says, hey, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. You get here to chapter 3, he says, realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. And he gets to the end in chapter 4, verse 5, and he says, but be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now this may not be pleasant, but I want to tell you something. You will not fulfill your ministry. You will not reach the fullness of the ministry that God wants to do through you unless you're willing to endure hardship. It will not always be peaches and cream. It won't. You can't find that anywhere in this book. There's hardship that comes when you choose to give and serve a sacrificial Savior. He's going to call you to sacrifice. All right? So Jesus wants us to come to that spot where His life can be displayed in us even when it's painful. See, it's wonderful to hug people on a Sunday morning. It's just neat to see, oh, I'm just so glad to see you. But it's hard to meet them in ER. You know, it's hard to come alongside them at the cemetery. It's hard when somebody's been abandoned and you're trying to figure out how do we help this person. There are difficult times will come if you're going to serve God. If you're serving God, You got everything you need for the difficulty. It says in Romans 8:14, all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. This is the way we let God show up, is we let Him lead us. We let Him direct us. We let Him be displayed in us. So what am I saying? Before you get up in the morning, you might try this, okay. You just raise your hand to God. Say, here I am again. You gave me another day. I'm going to give you myself again. Give Him yourself before you ever get out of bed, because some of you get out of bed and it's a long time before you get back to Him. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you get out of bed on the wrong side of the bed and it's a long time before you get back to Him. You give yourself to God before you get up. You present yourself to Him. Remember what I said? No Bible, no breakfast. You know, get into the Word, feed yourself, fan the flame, let what God wants to do be fully displayed in you, and you are going to find the most satisfying life you can ever have, because He came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So anything He commands you to do is going to produce abundant life in you, even in times of difficulty. So look at this right here at the very end of Timothy. It's almost the same thing in the first chapter. He says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I'm in 4:6. For I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. That is the statement of a man who's walked with power, who's walked with love, and has walked with discipline. I kept the faith. I finished the course. Friends, we want to finish well. Why? Look at this next verse. Because in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved His appearing. If you're excited about Jesus coming back, if you've been serving, waiting for the King to come, He says, when that day comes, He says, there's going to be a reward. Don't look for it before then. It'll get you discouraged. There's blessings before then, many, many, many blessings before then, but the reward is not until we get to heaven. Does that make sense? The reward is still coming. So you don't quit here because I didn't get rewarded enough. You're not getting rewarded here. You're getting blessed here. The rewards are on the other side. God's retirement plan is out of this world. Listen, your walk with the Spirit empowers your ministry. So I want to just tell you, fan the flame. Step into that. God's going to do something amazing. So you say, well, I don't know what to do, James. Let's go over it again. Pray. Do your assessment. Fill out that survey. And then begin exploring things. We're going to be talking about that again next week. What are the next things God has for you? And then we're going to have all the ministry coordinators here who are available to be setting out their ministry tables out here and talking about, hey, here's a spot you might try. Why? Because we want you to find your place and fill your place. And we will all be transformed by His love and His power and His discipline as we do that. Let's pray. Father, I'm amazed by You. I'm amazed that You use me. I'm amazed sometimes even what You say through me. I just want us to experience the fullness of Your Spirit, and I know we're not there yet. So You please pour out mercy and grace upon us. Sin has abounded. Let grace abound still more. Lord, would You unify this body? Would You focus us on the future? The reward that will come, may we serve You now, faithfully until then. For the glory of Jesus. And Father, I pray for the one that's wrestling with this whole thing because they've never given You their life. Well, they know You and they like You, but they've never trusted You. So right now today, I ask that they would move from unbelief to faith. That You would move their heart right now. to say, Jesus, I'm yours. To say, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior to forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I'm trusting you. Would you move someone through that journey right now today as they listen to this word? For your glory, for our joy. Amen. Let's